This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just coming up to 7:16, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. Next up, Hari Raya Haji was observed on Sunday, and that had us thinking about the Hajj and more broadly, air traffic between Malaysia and Saudi Arabia.
Yes, so Hajj this year began last Thursday on the 7th of July. It ends actually this evening. And I think what we wanted to look at really is the fact that this is in many ways the first full-fledged Hajj since the pandemic. And so considering all the various moving pieces that go into that, not just on either side of things, but when it comes to air travel specifically, we thought it would be interesting just to take a look at how exactly things go. Yes, of course, during Hajj, but also the rest of the year, right? During Umrah and more broadly at the aviation traffic and marketplace between Saudi Arabia and Malaysia, because it's actually quite specific and I think different depending on region to region.
Yes, for sure. And I do think that even just looking at the headlines around how the registration system for it has changed, particularly for countries in the West, there's a lot to unpack here. Before we move to our guest, I just wanted to bring up, in case you're not very familiar with how this process works here in Malaysia, the Tabung Haji is sort of a large part of how this is done because they introduced a first-come, first-served concept for Hajj registration that's been in place since 1995. We also have Amal, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Malaysian Aviation Group. And they are basically Malaysian Airlines operating division to operate scheduled Umrah and Hajj services. So we'll understand this a little better with our guest. But let us know, have you performed the Hajj? What were your travel experiences? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Brendan Sobey, independent analyst and consultant at Sobey Aviation. Brendan, good to have you with us.
Yeah, great to have you this evening.
What can you tell us about the Malaysia-Saudi Arabia aviation market? What is demand like?
Well, it's really a massive market. Before the pandemic, it was over 1 million passengers per year that flew between Malaysia and Saudi Arabia. And that's just on the nonstop flights between the two countries. There's a little bit more that travels via hubs like Dubai as well. And, you know, demand has always been strong, and only Hajj is a very small part of that because Hajj is a very short season and there's a quota with Hajj at 30,000 Malaysians per year, which is 60,000 passengers when you look at it on a return basis. So only 60,000 over the million plus is Hajj. And then the rest is a lot of that's Umrah, which is year round. But there's also some business travel because there's ties between Malaysia and Saudi Arabia, and there's also inbound. So Malaysia is quite a popular destination for Saudis coming across because obviously Malaysia is a very friendly destination for that population. And it's there's a lot of different types of traffic, and Hajj and Umrah is just part of it. But it's a really a big market and has a lot of potential as Saudi Arabia has opened up tourism now fully. So there's a potential for Malaysians to, and everyone else to go to Saudi Arabia, not only for Umrah and Hajj, but also to explore what is actually quite a fascinating and really unknown country. So, and Saudi Arabia is really promoting aviation and tourism for the next 20 years as it tries to diversify its economy away from oil. And Malaysia is a large component of that because it's such a natural partner for traffic in both directions.
And if we extend the conversation to the rest of Southeast Asia, which are the other countries that have high traffic or demand for flights to Saudi Arabia?
Well, Indonesia is the main market just because it's such a massive population and the amount of, for example, Hajj, the number of Hajj travelers from Indonesia is about 100,000 compared to 30,000 from Malaysia. And that's also extended into Umrah the rest of the year, where it's a much larger market. The rest of Southeast Asia, you know, also has a significant market of Saudi Arabia, but not of the same size. The population is a little bit different. So there's less, people making the religious pilgrimage from the other countries, although there's still some travel, both outbound and inbound. There's flights from Singapore, for example. There's flights from the Philippines. The Philippines market's a little bit different in that there's a lot of Filipinos working in Saudi Arabia. So that's catering more to that market. But in terms of religious pilgrimage, Malaysia and Indonesia are the main markets, and both are very sizable, particularly Indonesia, which, you know, has one of the largest populations in the world, of course.
So aside from Hajj, what are the periods of particularly high demand?
Well, Umrah is most of the rest of the year. And again, most of the traffic into Saudi Arabia from Malaysia and Indonesia is religious pilgrimage. There is other segments like business and inbound, you know, Saudis coming over to holiday in this region. But the majority of the traffic is religious pilgrimage. And Umrah is basically the rest of the year, almost the rest of the year after Hajj, which is a short period. And generally speaking, Umrah is... you see the highest numbers during holiday seasons. So when Malaysians have their holidays, when they have their school holidays, that's when you see kind of the highest demand and more flights to Saudi Arabia. And there's quite a large variation in terms of the number of flights depending on the time of year. So during quiet times of the year, you might only see a couple of flights a day to Saudi Arabia across all the airlines. But during busier periods, you might see 5-6 flights a day even.
And how are the flights for Hajj and Umrah handled differently?
Yeah, it's actually completely different. Hajj is very much a controlled market. It's, you know, there's a number of people that are allowed to make that pilgrimage every year. Obviously, there's capacity limits in Saudi Arabia because, you know, you can't just open the market like a free market. So and then those quotas are based on each country as well. So as I was saying, Malaysia traditionally has had about 30,000. Indonesia's had traditionally about 100,000. And then, you know, there's from the rest of the world as well. And you have to apply for it. I think you were talking about this just before I came on. And it's you have to apply for it and you have to take basically a special charter flight. And the charter flights are only operated by two airlines, so Malaysia Airlines or AMAL, which is a unit of Malaysia Airlines, has a designation from the Malaysia side, and traditionally FlyNAS, which is one of the airlines from Saudi, has the designations from the Saudi side. So basically, that traffic is split between those two airlines, and the Saudi carriers have half the market, not only for Malaysia but for the overall international market. You know, everyone coming to Hajj, the Saudis basically, or the Saudi carriers, fly in half, and it's such a huge number that they wet lease in a lot of aircraft. So even though FlyNAS might have the designation for Malaysia, they might actually wet lease from another airline to fly those. And then Umrah is more of a scheduled market. I mean, there are some charters as well during Umrah season, but it's more a normal market in that, you know, you can go and buy your flights from any airline you want to. So you can fly Air Asia when Air Asia was operating the flight. You can fly Malaysia Airlines or AMAL. You can fly Saudi, which operates year-round to Malaysia, the main flag carrier from Saudi Arabia. Or you can even fly like Emirates via Dubai or Scoot via Singapore. So it's more of an open kind of normal market. So they're very different.
So this is the first large-scale Hajj since the pandemic. What additional preparations would airlines have had to make to ensure everything goes smoothly?
Well, I think it's pretty much business as it was before, you know, just returning to 2019, because basically 2 years you didn't have any Hajj. And a lot of the preparations are not just done by the airlines, or done by the tour groups, the tour companies, which charter these flights and book these passengers. So the airlines, just basically go back to what they were doing in 2019. So Malaysia Airlines or AMAL again, which is the brand that operates to Saudi Arabia, using the Malaysia Airlines aircraft, you know, with the special service and the special product, they just go back to what they've been doing all along, as do the other airlines that fly the Hajj charters. And, you know, and there was virtually no traffic last year. I mean, AMAL, for example, only flew 13,000 passengers in 2021 versus 375,000 in 2019. So it's basically the floodgates are open and it's business as usual, thankfully, after 2 years of really a challenging time for everyone.
You've mentioned the AMAL brand a number of times now. What are the benefits really of having a dedicated arm for this travel?
Well, it provides like a special service. You know, the meals are different. The product is very much geared towards this market, which has its, you know, this segment of the market, which is quite particular, quite different than other segments. So instead of just, being treated like any other airline passenger, you get kind of special treatment. So that's the main benefit. I mean, it's a very interesting history, the AMAL brand. It was started in early 2019, but actually the establishment or the idea of a separate brand or a separate kind of operation for Saudi flights started, you know, way back in around 2016, when Malaysia Airlines Group was looking for other ways to use their A380s. At the time, they had decided to switch their London flights to A350s, which were delivered in late 2017 and were replaced the A380 eventually on the London route in early 2018. So back in 2016, when they knew that this was coming up, that they needed to switch London to A350 for economic reasons, they were looking for new ways to use their A380. And this idea was started by the management of Malaysia Airlines at the time, Peter Bellew, and he was the CEO, and other executives got this idea, which was quite interesting and pioneering. To have a separate unit, and to, at the time, they were planning to actually reconfigure the A380s into a higher density configuration. That never happened. The plan also was to have its own operating certificate. That also never happens. So they kind of had to change it, in the interim years. But it did eventually launch with the A380s in early 2019, using up to four of the A380s, depending on the time of year, just dedicated for these flights to Saudi Arabia. And it was going pretty well. But, unfortunately, the COVID got in the way, like it has got in the way of a lot of things.
So Tabung Haji has appointed Amal as the Hajj charter flight provider from 2022 to 2024. Are there opportunities for other players following this?
Well, the Hajj is earmarked only for the one airline. So and it's a very short period, just a couple of weeks period when you include the flights to and from Saudi Arabia. So Amal, I think, will continue based on that allocation or appointment as the Malaysian entity doing the Hajj flights. But the rest of the year, it's a market that Amal plays in as the other airlines. And Amal was, had about 50% of the Umrah market, which is the year-round kind of market, the much bigger market, and was looking to try to increase that market share to maybe 60%. This was pre-COVID, and I think they still plan to do that. But the plans have changed a lot in that the A380 is gone. They've stopped flying the A380 during the pandemic, and the plane is going to be scrapped or sold, basically. And Amal is now using the Malaysia Airlines A330s, and the A330s are going to be replaced in the next couple of years. In fact, Malaysia Airlines shouldn't be announcing an order potentially this month to replace their A330s, which includes the Amal or those planes used by Amal. So there's a lot of opportunities for Amal to potentially expand, depending on what happens with the future of the Malaysia Airlines fleet, as well as airlines like AirAsia, which hasn't re-entered the Saudi Arabia market yet. And I guess it's a little bit unknown until we see what happens with AirAsia X, going forward. So there are opportunities for sure. And again, as I was talking at the beginning, the Saudi Arabia Malaysia market is huge and has growth potential, not only for Umrah, but also for other segments of the market as Saudi Arabia opens up to general tourism. So there's a lot of opportunities for Amal and for all other airlines, for Hajj specifically, because it's a short period and it's capped. There's limited growth there because there's only so many people that can visit during Hajj. And what Saudi Arabia is trying to do is actually encourage more people to come during the rest of the year. And that's what is behind this kind of opening of tourism in Saudi Arabia. So there's huge opportunities for lots of airlines and for lots of companies in Malaysia as well, because again, Malaysia is a natural partner for Saudi Arabia, not only in tourism in both directions, but in other areas of the business, even including airports. Saudi Arabia is expanding and privatizing airports, and there's an opportunity there for Malaysia airports. So there's a lot of opportunities, generally speaking, in this market. So it's quite an exciting time, especially now that Hajj and Umrah is back up and we're back to normal, at least in terms of the Saudi Arabian Malaysia market.
Brendan, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Brendan Sobey, independent analyst and consultant at Sobey Aviation. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.